glad to have you as well. Let's get right into it. But first, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day this morning, for the wonderful rain you sent us to nourish our crops and gardens and the creation that you made. Lord, this morning as we study parts of your word, open it up to us to understand. Use my voice and my mouth to deliver your message. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, that we might receive and put your word to work in our lives, especially in the area of healing. Thank you for each one here this morning, and we give you all the glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The last 3 weeks we have looked at the senses of hearing and seeing, and then what we do with it in speaking, what the word has to say about healing. We discussed what to hear, what not to hear, who to hear, who not to listen to, how to hear and how not to listen. Also, what to see in the word, what we should look at or not look at, who we should look to or not look to, and how we should look when we look in the word, and how we should not look and think about it, and what to do with this information that we get from the word. Speak it out of our mouths once we get those healing scriptures into our heart and down into our heart by meditating and studying the word. Well, it goes a little further than that. If we're going to put it into action in our lives, we've got to do more than just speak. And so this morning, and we know that healing is a process sometimes. Sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it's a process. So this morning, we're going to talk about healing as a process, and we're going to compare it to the process of raising a garden. So sit back and take notes. If I go too fast, listen faster. As we've learned here, healing can be instantaneous or it can be a process. And look at it, illustrate steps in that process that parallel the practice of tending a garden. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to use the King James Version of the Bible. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have the modern farming equipment we have today. So the sower had a satchel or a bucket or something with seed in it, and he would scatter it. And if you practice with that, you get to where you can throw a pretty regular pattern, and as you walk along, you're covering an area with seed more or less uniformly. That's the goal, okay? So he went forth to sow, and he's slinging seed everywhere. Some fell out of the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In this parable we have, well, let me go ahead a little further and then come back to what I was going to tell you. In the same chapter, Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23, Jesus interprets the parable when his disciples asked him. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He that receives seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We have in this parable and the interpretation thereof most of the essential steps to tend and sow and reap a harvest of our garden or our healing. There are 9 steps. Neglect any one of them, and your harvest or your healing may be adversely affected. So we'll go through the 9 steps. The first thing, before the sower went out to sow, before he could do his job, somebody had to prepare a seed bed. And you see in the parable the consequences of not preparing it. If you just throw it out in the bushes and in the rocks, what's going to happen? He scattered seed, the sower, everywhere, regardless of the ground conditions, and that won't produce good results in the natural or in our, probably will not in the healing or the spiritual realm. Be a little more careful where we sow. Well, who was the original gardener? Who planted the first garden? God did. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read from the Amplified this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. No shrub or plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. Go a little further to verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted a garden, oasis, in the east, in Eden, delight, land of happiness. And he put the man whom he had formed or created there. And in that garden the Lord God caused to grow from the ground every tree that is desirable and pleasing to the sight and good, suitable, pleasant for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the experiential knowledge, recognition of the difference between good and evil. And then in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2, so the Lord God took the man he had made and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. The King James says to dress it and keep it. The word keep in Hebrew is shamar, and it means to keep, to tend, to watch over, to retain, to hedge about. And in Genesis chapter 3, 23, it states, once Adam and Eve had fallen from grace with the Lord and relinquished their right to be in the garden, in Genesis 3, 23, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. That's the King James. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, the Lord God sent Adam away from the Garden of Eden to till and cultivate the ground from which he was taken. In Jeremiah, now we're laying the groundwork here for seedbed preparation. In Jeremiah chapter 4, in verse 3. I'm going to read it from the King James first and then from the Amplified. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And from the Amplified, for this is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, plow your uncultivated ground for a season and do not sow among thorns. It's not going to put it on the screen, but Hosea 10, verse 12 says to break up your uncultivated ground. Well, what is uncultivated ground? It's hard, compacted, weedy, and neglected. Does that remind you of some people you know? Or perhaps ourselves early in life before we got saved, before we knew any better? If it's compacted, water won't soak in and roots can't grow. We have to get the rocks out. The uncultivated mind or spirit is similar. We've got rocks, hard places in our mind, firmly held beliefs that may be wrong. We may have some that are right too, but we need to get rid of those hard-headed, wrong thoughts and wrong beliefs and wrong practices. Well, what can we or should we do to prepare the seedbed? Well, pull out the weeds, the wrong doctrines or beliefs. Break it up. Shatter the hard places with the word, the sword of the Spirit. Get out the unbelief. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Beat your sword into a plowshare. Well, what is a sword? What is our sword? What does Paul tell us in Ephesians 6? Take up the sword, which is the word of God. Okay, if you beat your swords into plowshares, take the word of God and use it like a plow to break up that uncultivated hard ground, those hard thoughts, minds. There's our chance to initiate the seedbed preparation. Well, you got to do more than just plow it. And when you plow, sometimes you'll turn up rocks and roots and other stuff. Get those stones out. I can remember picking up rocks out of a field as a little boy to help my dad. We don't have many rocks in this part of the world, but occasionally. Once the soil has been plowed, then some secondary tillage needs to be formed. Tillage is working the soil up to a seed bed. Okay. You harrow it. You want to level it because a plow does not leave the ground level. And you have clods that need to be broken up. If you sow your garden in clods big as my fists, you're not going to have very good results. You want to break them up and have it flowable, loose. And those of you that have gardens, whether it's flowers in a flower bed or a vegetable garden or whatever, understand what I'm talking about. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And 1 Peter 2, 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And many other scriptures can be used to prepare the seedbed, to prepare the mind for healing. Stories and testimonies of healing are very helpful in that as well. Do you get the picture? Now, I'm talking not just to you, but think in terms of helping other people that you know or come into contact with that need healing. You may have to do some plowing in their lives. Pick some rocks up and get them out of that field of their mind. Pull some weeds out. Okay, y'all with me? Okay, good. Once the seed bed is prepared, it's in good condition to receive the seed. The sower can do his job. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in the King James Bible. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. When we go out, we need to plant the word, healing scriptures, and pluck up wrong thinkings or beliefs out of our own mind or someone else's. And if someone tries to plant a wrong belief in your mind, refuse it. Don't let it grow. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, and this is from the Amplified, "Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle with your hands in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening planting will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good." Notice that you're not sowing just one time and quitting. Sow frequently. Sometimes you could call it relay cropping, where you plant a crop, in, let's say in your garden, you harvest it, you pull those plants up when they're done, plant something else. Well, you also might want to stagger your harvest by staggering your planting time. And that might well be the approach you need to take with someone that you're trying to help. When you're trying to get them to see that they have a redemptive right to healing as much as they do salvation. And you might have to sow that seed several times before you get it to germinate and grow in their heart and in their mind. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, in the Amplified. "They who sow in tears shall reap with joyful singing." He who goes back and forth weeping, carrying his bag of seed for planting, will indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Sow expectantly. If you're trying to help someone to see their need and right to healing, sow expecting them to understand and to receive it. Expect a harvest. Don't just throw it out there and forget about it. You're going to have to do more than just that. Proverbs 22, verse 8. "He who sows injustice will reap a harvest of trouble." "And the rod of his wrath, which he oppresses others, will fail." So he who sows injustice will reap a harvest of trouble. There's a whole lot of trouble going to be harvested by some folks in this world. You can see it happening. But don't be a part of that. So an injustice. Job had an observation about what not to plant. In chapter 4, verse 8, this is also from the Amplified. "As I have seen, those who plow wickedness and those who sow trouble and harm harvest it." So don't sow trouble and harm. And don't let others sow trouble and harm in your life, in your mind, or in your spirit. In the King James, the same verse from Job 4:8 reads, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." And Hosea chapter 10, verse 13 echoes the same thoughts. What are you sowing with your words? When you talk with someone, are you sowing seeds that will germinate and help them towards healing? You don't want to sow old, out-of-date seed that will fail to germinate. You want to sow fresh seed and sow it repeatedly. E.W. Kenyon, in his book, The Power of Your Words, has several don'ts. Don't talk doubt and unbelief. We don't want to sow that. Don't talk about sickness and disease. We don't want to sow that. Never admit you're a doubting Thomas. That's an insult to your father. Never talk about failure. That's from The Power of Your Words by E.W. Kenyon, page 92. Don't sow the wrong seeds. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the first part of that verse, says, "To sow with a view to righteousness, that righteousness, like seed, may germinate." Now, I was reading from the Amplified. We've got the King James up there, the same thing. Watch what you sow. Seek the good ground, as Jesus described in Matthew chapter 13. Strive to be the good ground that Jesus talked about. How do we do that? Study to show thyself approved. study the Word and what it has to say about healing. And there are some handouts on the back table if you need some help in figuring out or finding those scriptures to read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 36 through 38, let's see, I'm going to have to turn there. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 36 through 38. And I'm reading from the Amplified. You fool, every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up and growing, unless it first dies. The seed you sow is not the body, the plant which is going to become, but it is a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body just as He planned, and to each kind of seed a body of its own is given. What we sow has to germinate. And what's needed for germination? Water and the right temperature, good soil. One of the principles of getting a good stand in your garden, in your field, or in teaching healing to someone else is to get good seed-to-soil contact. You don't want it on top of the ground. You want it in the soil, the garden seed, let's say, firm enough that through capillary action, water can come into that seed and cause it to swell and begin to grow. But also, the temperature has to be right. A summer annual, like your, let's say, snap beans in your garden or a tomato, will germinate best when the soil temperature is above 50 degrees. But a winter annual, like wheat or kale, needs soil temperature that's cooler to grow and flourish. Each type of plant's got an optimum season, optimum range of temperature to germinate and to grow. You've all probably seen kale does well all over the winter. Sow it in the fall, eat on it during the winter when it's not covered up with snow or something, or frozen. But in the spring, it runs up and goes to seed as soon as it warms up, and it's not edible anymore, okay? You need the right conditions. And sometimes that means if you're trying to help someone with healing, they've got to be at the right temperature to receive and for that word to germinate. If they're mad, disgusted, utterly depressed, and just nothing's right with the world, you may not have much success, but you want to catch them in a better mood and say things and do things that will help them get to that better mood and get to that soil temperature and condition where they are ready to receive and things will work, it'll grow. What's needed for healing seed to germinate and take root in our minds and spirits or someone else's? Water it with the Word. We talked about getting it to the right temperature. We have to be willing to listen and to meditate, and so does the person we're witnessing to, whether we're receiving or we're trying to help them receive. You could plant, let's say, sweet corn in cold, wet soil in March, and it's going to sit there. It may rot, but you wait till end of April when the soil is warm, the moisture is right, and it'll spring up pretty quickly. So you want those conditions to be right so that this seed comes out like a racehorse and starts growing. Germination takes time. The seed of the Word, healing scriptures, may take some time to begin to grow in your heart or someone else's heart. And there is such a thing as a hard seed. Some crops will have seed, and the seed coat is very hard, and it will lay there in the soil for years sometimes before it will germinate. Clover is a good example. And sometimes that seed needs, and some weed seed are this way, needs for the soil to be worked so that the soil particles abrade that seed coat, scarify it. That lets water get in. Okay, sometimes adverse experiences and things that happen to us in life abrade our seed coat to the point that Oh, we're ready now for the water of the Word to get in. Patience. Okay, what's the third step in raising a good garden? I gotta speed up. Before you fertilizing the garden, but before you fertilize or your field, it's a good practice to take soil test to determine the fertility level and the soil pH. That way you can spend your fertilizer money wisely and get a return on investment. See, the problem is pH is a measure of the acidity or alkalinity of the soil, the solution in the soil. pH of 7 is neutral. Lower numbers mean it's acidic. Higher numbers, like 8, mean it's alkaline. Okay, our soils here naturally tend to go acidic over time because of the parent material and our rainfall conditions. A lot of fertilizer is not utilized effectively if the pH is too high or too low. In the healing realm, pH corresponds to our frame of mind, either convinced or skeptical, having faith or unbelief. pH can be adjusted in the natural by using lime to raise it or sulfur to lower it. In the healing arena, our spiritual pH can be adjusted with large doses of faith scriptures, scriptures that assure us of God's healing power and His provision, and assures us of our delegated authority over our enemy who is trying to kill us. What does Satan come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay. In times of drought, pH goes down. Solution becomes more acidic. In wet times, a really wet year, pH goes up in the soil. In our lives, in our hearts, and in the hearts of others, we need to keep the water of the Word flowing. If there's a drought of the Word of God coming into our lives or coming into somebody else's life, guess what? They're going to go downhill. They go over into that acidic range where the plants can't, or the healing scriptures can't grow and flourish. So we want to keep that water of the Word flowing. Keep our internal spiritual pH adjusted properly. Jesus told us a parable about fertilizing a fig tree in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, it'd be verses 6 through 9. Then he began telling him this parable. A certain man had a fig tree that had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the vineyard keeper, "For 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and have found none. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground, depleting the soil and blocking the sunlight?" But he replied to him, "Let it alone, sir, just one more year till I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit after this, fine, but if not, cut it down." The King James says, "Lord, let it alone this year until I shall dig about it and dung it." Manure was the primary fertilizer they had in Jesus' time. But he's making the point that the plant, as well as our spiritual lives, need to be fertilized with the Word of God. A baby, a lamb, a kitten, a puppy, a chick has to be fed in order for it to grow up. Likewise a plant, likewise our faith and our faith in healing. For a believer to be ready to have faith to be healed, they have to be fed, fertilized, and fed often, daily. Just reading the Bible once a week on Sunday morning is not sufficient. How? Healing stories in the Bible, testimonies of people that have been healed, books and articles on on healing, tapes, CDs, and so forth, and by meditating on the healing scriptures. Don't just read them and forget them. Meditate on them, commit them to your mind. Philippians 4:19 in the King James says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Speak the word. Speak it to yourself, speak it to your neighbor, speak it to your loved one, speak it to anyone you come in contact with that needs healing, but speak positive healing scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach. And Paul is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, which says, Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it." In your mouth and in your heart is meditating on the word and speaking it. Okay, the fourth step, water. You got to water a garden. God watered yesterday and the day before by natural rainfall. Praise God for that. But in times of drought, you may have to water your garden. You may have to water with the word that person that needs healing, or yourself. Keep yourself well watered with the word. It's essential for germination and growth. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 30. In the King James reads, "For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water." Isaiah was warning rebellious Judah about their behavior. They've gotten away from God, so they were in a drought. They weren't obeying, they weren't listening, they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Water is essential to life itself, and the water of the Word is essential both to eternal life and to healing. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. "Blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. For he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when the heat when it comes. But its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit." Holy, that is great. We don't want to stop bearing fruit, do we? And we want fruit to be born in the lives of other people that we love, that we know, that we minister to, that we come in contact with. What water is Jeremiah referring to? The water of the Word. Regardless of who planted the seed in you for healing, someone else may water it. Now, here in Healing Center, Pastor Debbie is always planting seed. She's always watering. She's always fertilizing and all the other steps. We just have to pay attention and absorb it. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8 in the King James. "I have planted, but Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." The reward for me would be, if I'm speaking into your life or praying for you with him, to see you get healed, or see you get to the point that you can believe for it. That's the fruit I want to see. You may have a seed planted here. You may be watered by other means, other speakers, next week's message. Remember, it's God who gives the increase, the healing, and continued good health. You have to water the seed that you have already received or have sown, or is sown in you. In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus was passing through Samaria, and he stopped at Jacob's well to rest, and the Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and he had a conversation with her. And he told her in verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 4, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Use this living water. Remember Philippians 4:19, all our needs supplied. So the Word's got all the water we need for our healing, for helping others, and for our spiritual growth in other areas as well. But once you've got the garden worked up, planted, fertilized, watered, you're going to have to cultivate it once in a while. Why cultivate? A garden or a field is cultivated to remove weeds, to break up compacted surface soil, to aerate the soil, because roots need air too. We need to break up the hard places in our minds. Remember what the gardener told the vineyard owner in Luke 13:8-9? He wanted to dig around it or cultivate by hand the fig bush and put on manure. But the digging around it would get out the roots, the weeds, aerate the roots, and help it to grow. Proverbs 28:19. He who cultivates his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless people and frivolous pursuits will have plenty of poverty. You can follow worthless people and frivolous pursuits seeking healing or health. And I'm thinking in terms of chasing pills that are supposed to fix whatever ails you, but also false teachings. In Philippians 2:12, in the Amplified, so then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling. You need to cultivate your healing also, just like your salvation. Cultivate. Get the weeds out. Well, if you have a garden, wait a minute. I've got another note here. I'm going to go back to that. We need to guard our garden. In the natural world, desirable traits come in or on the seed these days. Some are designed to protect the seedling or the seed from soil-borne diseases or insect pests. The things that, the little foxes that spoil the vines, the little things that nibble away at your mind, at your faith. Genetic modification to insert desirable traits into the seed's DNA include insect protection, herbicide resistance, and disease resistance. In the spiritual parallel is false teaching and false doctrine. In the spiritual realm, we need to put on and use the whole armor of God, as Paul described in Ephesians 6. This corresponds to seed coatings to protect the seed or the seedling. Okay, we need to put on the new man. Since we are new creatures in Christ, our spiritual DNA has been changed. We are a new creature. It's been modified by our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord and Savior, and as our healer. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds, and this gives us protection from disease and attacks of the enemy, and attacks on our bodies by the devil. We need to become toxic to the devil. When he bites us, we want him to run away, leave us alone, right? Just as some crops are toxic to insects that feed on them. Be so full of healing scriptures that the devil will leave you alone. James tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Okay, another aspect of guarding. Jesus spoke a parable in Matthew 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. In the Amplified, it says, hedged it about. Let me put a wall around it. And the tower, the purpose of the tower was to watch for trouble. The wall of the hedge is to keep out intruders, two-footed and four-footed. They might want to feed on his vineyard. The watchtower is to keep a guard, to watch out for intruders or predators or pests that want to come in. Likewise, we need to be on guard and watch out for problems and hedge or wall out the devil and his minions when they come to attack. In Matthew 18, verse 18, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Here's a way to put up a hedge of protection around yourself and protect your healing. Bind and cast out every evil, stray, doubtful thought and every sin that opens the doors to the enemy. Keep, just as the wall's designed to keep out wildlife, one word, we need a wall to keep out the wildlife, two words. Ask the Lord for divine restraining order from the courts of heaven against that which would steal your healing and for angels to enforce that order. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee. And Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, because the devil is certainly going to want to attack your heart and plant seeds of doubt and unbelief there and a lot of other things. Okay, we're talking about the stuff he wants to plant. You have to weed a garden, step number 7. Let no doubts or fears grow in your mind. Pull up those weeds. In Matthew chapter 13, we're going to go back there. Jesus told another parable in verses 24 to 30. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Tares, that's weeds. In the Middle East, in the Fertile Crescent area, where the agriculture is thought to have started, well, anyway, where wheat came from, there's a weed called darnel. And it will grow in with the wheat, and you can't tell it's there until harvest time. But it is toxic. So you want to keep those toxic weeds out of your healing garden as well as out of your wheat field. But when the blades sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And in the same chapter in verse 36, Jesus explains the parable. Oh, his disciples came to him in verse 36. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. His disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We spoke of Ecclesiastes 3:2 earlier, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to pluck up those tares, those weeds in our lives. Pull up evil reports, words spoken against you, curses spoken over you, suggestions of well-meaning but ignorant people. Old wives' tales, stray thoughts, unbelief, gossip, and doubt. There's a danger in allowing these weeds to grow among and along with your garden. There's a danger in allowing them to grow along with your healing process, in your mind, in your spirit. Get them out. Weeds will compete for water, sunlight, nutrients, and with the good things growing in you, just as such as the healing process. And refuse evil reports. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 22, when he's explaining the parable. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and distractions of the world and deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and delight of riches, choke the word, and it yields no fruit. Now, think outside this building. There's a vacant field behind the church, and across the road, around that convenience store and Dollar General, across Twiggs Ferry Road, are two fields. There's another field overgrown with weeds, grass, and bushes. The trees starting to grow. If you want to go out there and plant a garden, some seed in the middle of that, is it going to have a chance? No. That overgrowth of weeds and bushes and so forth will choke that seed. It won't get sunlight. It won't get water enough to grow. It won't amount to anything. Get the weeds out of your life, out of your mind. Don't let them grow. The eighth step. One thing a garden needs is sunlight. Ever tried growing tomatoes in the shade? They get real tall and spindly, and they don't do very well because they need full sun. Okay. We need sunlight, S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, to grow and prosper. That's another reason to get the weeds out, because weeds in our mind or in our garden will intercept sunlight or sun light that the good plants need to grow. Now, why do I say that? Well, in John chapter 9, verse 5, in the King James, Jesus was speaking, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in John chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Does your garden or your flowers grow in the dark? Not much. They've got to have that sunlight. Let the light of Jesus' teachings, parables, and miracles of healing continually shine into and on you. Then let your light shine forth. Be a light to others. Finally, the last step is the harvest. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. In the Amplified, he who gathers during summer and takes advantage of his opportunities, remember that, is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps during harvest and ignores the moment of opportunity, remember that, is a son who acts shamefully. Gather knowledge of our redemptive right to healing and gather healing testimonies and scriptures to your mind. Get them into your heart. Take advantage of your opportunities. Healing Center, good teaching, whether it's on a CD or a DVD or it's live, and the support of other believers. And be a supporter yourself to others who are striving to get their healing. God wants fruit from us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, Galatians, he has a list of evil stuff, but he also has a list of fruit that he expects and desires from us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the kind of fruit we need to be bearing, shouldn't we? And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and through 9 in the King James. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting and healing. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 7 in the Amplified says, you know, this and this only is what he shall reap. And in verse 9 in the Amplified, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. Healing can be a process which takes time. Do not give up. Psalm 126, verse 5, they who sow in tears shall reap with joyful singing. And in the King James, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Happy ending, a harvest of healing. I want to read you something that jumped off the page for me this morning while I was reading my Bible. And that's in John chapter 4, verses 35 to 38. And it's in the Amplified. Do you not say it is still 4 months until the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, raise your eyes and look at the fields and see, they are white for harvest. Already the reaper is receiving his wages. He is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who plants and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One person sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not worked. Others have worked, and you have been privileged to reap the results of their work. Be a sower or a reaper, or both. But in between, be a fertilizer and a weeder and a cultivator and all those other things, a waterer, all those other things. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 provides a simple summary. It's from the Amplified. Sow with a view to righteousness, that is, righteousness like seed may germinate. Reap in accordance with mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it's time to seek and search diligently for the Lord and to long for his blessing until he comes to rain righteousness and his gift of salvation and healing on you. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 tell us that healing comes along with salvation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us, and with his stripes we are healed. I want to read you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 10. Now he who provides seed for the sower, he's provided us with plenty of seed to sow, has he not? He who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Finally, okay, we talked about 9 steps to a garden or 9 steps to healing. Prepare with the word. Sow with the word. Fertilize with the word. Water with the word. Cultivate with the word. Guard with the word. Weed with the word. Light with the word, and harvest with the word. And as we've seen this morning, he's promised a good harvest. He's promised our healing if we take all those steps. Don't neglect any one of them. Something I should have done at the beginning this morning was to say thank you to Pastor Debbie for allowing me to take her place while she's on vacation. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to go to her pulpit and speak to you this morning. And I pray and believe that you got something out of it. I hope it will help you in your walk with Christ and in your healing walk. Now, if there's anyone here this morning, would you stand to your feet, please? If there's anyone here this morning that would like to have hands laid on you by our Healing Center team and have prayer for you, please get out of your seat, get up, and come right on.